Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio KCAW in Sitka, where it's 33 degrees with a fresh dusting of snow this morning. It's Tuesday, December 13th, 2011. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Dove Island Lodge will pay a fine and be on informal probation under a deal reached last week with state prosecutors. The Sitka Charter Fishing Lodge, along with owner Dwayne Lambeth, was facing 17 fishing violations, ranging from falsifying logbooks to exceeding limits on numerous species. The charges stemmed from a sting operation by the Alaska State Troopers in 2009. Two undercover wildlife troopers booked a weekend at the lodge and reported witnessing numerous violations. In an agreement entered in Sitka Superior Court last week, the state agreed to dismiss all charges against Lambeth and all but one against the lodge. Dove Island has pleaded guilty to aiding in the commission of a violation. The plea comes with a fine of $20,000 and 5 years of informal probation, which includes restrictions on where the lodge can take unguided fishing trips. Andrew Peterson is an assistant attorney general in the state's Office of Special Prosecutions. He says the state considers the agreement a fantastic solution to the charges.
The entity is liable into the future, whereas if you hold an individual guide liable only, then guides come and go.
A call to Lambeth for comment was not immediately returned. The probation conditions include placing several locations off limits. Dove Island cannot take unguided trips to Polotovsky, Plotnikov, Golding, and Salmon Lakes, and the lodge must provide 2 weeks' advance notice to the Forest Service with the names and contact information of everyone on any unguided trip into the Tongass. Should Dove Island violate any of its probation conditions, the state can go back to the court and ask the company to pay the suspended portion of its fine, some $40,000. It can also ask the state to suspend Dove Island's license for a year. Again, Andrew Peterson for the state.
This kind of a resolution should definitely have a dramatic impact on how this corporation does business. The goal here by the state was not to put a business out of business, and it wasn't to result in a number of people being unemployed, but rather to result in this corporation or this entity complying with the laws, general deterrence of other entities within the area, and really a fairness of competition. Now everybody who is operating within this area should be operating on a level playing field.
Eric Mariski, who captained the trip where the violations occurred, pleaded guilty to charges in the matter earlier this year. The federal government wants to more than double the fees it charges Sitka to use land for hydroelectric projects. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, charges money on a per-acre basis for the parts of Sitka's two hydroelectric projects that occupy federal land. This year, the fees were around $11 an acre. That comes out to about $23,000 for Blue Lake and $15,000 for Green Lake. Under changes proposed by FERC, Blue Lake's fees could be upward of $46,000 and Green Lake's could increase to more than $36,000. Sitka's electric director, Chris Bruton, says it would be bad news for Sitka and its ratepayers, and that Sitka is joining a number of utilities across the state to protest the move. Under yet another methodology, FERC would base Sitka's rates off of the value of agricultural land. That would put the rate upwards of $1,100 an acre, which works out to $3.2 million for both lakes. Bruton says it's possible, but not probable.
I can't imagine that FERC would go through with the NASS method and try to, you know, raise our fees from $30,000 or $40,000 to $3.4 million. I mean, that just would not pass the light of day test.
The city argues that one of its projects, Green Lake, isn't even on federal land, but rather lands that were conveyed from the federal government to the state under the Statehood Act. Bruton will brief the Assembly on the proposed fee change at tonight's regular meeting of the Assembly. He says he's not asking for the Assembly to take any action, but that if the federal government does increase the land use fees, the city will likely ask for help from the state's congressional delegation. A Superior Court judge has ruled against Petersburg's legal challenge of the Alaska Redistricting Board's plan for new legislative districts. A decision issued Monday says a new district, including Petersburg, part of Juneau, and several other small southeast communities, meets the requirements of the Alaska Constitution. Joe Vicknicki reports.
In a 16-page decision sprinkled with literary and nautical references, Judge Michael McConaughey ruled in favor of a new legislative district that will include Juneau, Petersburg, and several other southeast communities. The Alaska Redistricting Board's Executive Director Taylor Bickford says the board is pleased with the decision.
It's definitely good news for us, and it confirms that the board's process for drawing in southeast Alaska did meet the requirements of the Alaska Constitution, and it's a good day for us. We're certainly happy that the court has validated the board's work, and now we're looking forward to the next step, which is trial.
Two Fairbanks area residents are also challenging the board's plan, and that part of the case is scheduled for trial in January. Petersburg has been in a House district with Sitka and Wrangell. The board plan creates a new District 32, which would join Petersburg with a portion of the Juneau Borough, along with Kuprinoff, Excursion Inlet, Gustavus, Hobart Bay, Skagway, and Tenneke Springs. Petersburg argued that that district is not compact and contiguous, as spelled out in the state constitution. McConaughey's ruling says the board's task in drawing up new legislative boundaries was complicated by Southeast's unique geography and protection in the Voting Rights Act for minority influence. The judge quoted from Melville's Moby Dick, saying he learned more than he wanted to know about whales from reading that book, and likewise learned more than he wanted to know about redistricting from the lawsuits against the board's plan. In this case, the redistricting board's Bickford says the judge agreed with their arguments.
There was some debate over whether or not the board should have drawn an Alaska Native influence district in Southeast and whether or not it was justified in protecting an Alaska Native incumbent, Representative Bill Thomas, from being paired with another incumbent legislator. Petersburg had argued that the board didn't need to do those things. We, of course, argued that we did, and to the extent that the district was had any compactness issues, those issues were required in order to essentially comply with the Voting Rights Act and draw a Native influence district in Southeast, protect a Native Alaskan incumbent from being paired.
Redistricting is mandated every 10 years following the census. Southeast will be losing seats in the legislature because population numbers in the panhandle are flat or declining compared to other parts of the state. Petersburg initially challenged the plan on a number of issues. The suit argued that the small community would have less of a voice in the state legislature and had more in common socially and economically with smaller southeast cities than with Juneau. Petersburg officials this fall decided to drop those arguments and seek a summary judgment on the issue of whether the new district was compact as required by the Constitution. City Councilor Nancy Strand was one of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit.
Well, I'm not surprised. I'm disappointed, but I'm not really surprised. I wish we could have spent more money fighting the case.
The City Council this summer agreed to spend up to $30,000 on the legal challenge, but would have had to appropriate more money to pursue the additional arguments and take the case to trial. Another counselor and plaintiff, Mark Jensen, thinks Petersburg should have made an oral argument in the summary judgment in this case, something that neither side ultimately requested.
I just think Petersburg's getting the short end of the stick on this redistricting. Like I've stated before, I think it was all politically motivated to protect certain Republicans in the House. So they didn't have to run against a representative from downtown Juneau to keep them, you know, in the legislature. So I don't know. Unless we appeal it to the Supreme Court, I don't think we've got any other options.
Petersburg can ask the judge to reconsider his decision or appeal. The deadline is December 16th to file a motion for reconsideration, and counselors may discuss a possible appeal at a meeting December 19th. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
Southeast industry and government leaders will gather in Juneau today for a regional economic summit. It's part of an ongoing effort to find ways to expand the visitor, forest, and ocean products industries and promote renewable energy projects. Industry groups called clusters are coming up with recommendations. Kirby Day of Princess Cruises co-chairs the Visitor Products Cluster.
Each group will come forward and say, look, you know, this is where we really need some help. And if we can get some of this help and get some of these things, you know, on the table and or approved as quick as possible, this will make a significant positive impact on general economic benefits in Southeast Alaska.
The Juneau Economic Development Council is organizing the summit, which runs until 5 p.m. today at Juneau Centennial Hall. Day says the visitors group has several ideas it wants to move forward.
An example would be working with the university to try to resurrect some type of visitor industry educational program at the university that would help us as an industry get better applicants and ultimately provide better and longer-term jobs within the industry here in Southeast.
Dave Click of the Northwest Food Processors Association is the keynote speaker. He has worked with similar initiatives in Washington, Oregon, and Idaho. More information is available through a link posted with this report on our website, kcaw.org. Alaska's two senators have signed on to legislation that would bar pirate fishing vessels from U.S. ports and keep them from offloading their catch. The bipartisan measure, introduced by Hawaii Democratic Senator Daniel Inouye, implements an international agreement that Inouye's office says is aimed at helping U.S. fishermen and consumers by keeping illegally caught fish from entering the global market. The agreement will take effect when 25 countries ratify it. Alaska Senators Mark Begich and Lisa Murkowski are among the bill's co-sponsors. In September, the Coast Guard seized a ship suspected of illegal fishing about 2,600 miles southwest of Kodiak. More than 50 shark carcasses and 30 tons of squid were found on board. Illegal fishing accounts for up to $23.5 billion a year in global economic losses. So in weather forecast today, for Sitka and Port Alexander, calls for mostly cloudy skies. Scattered rain and snow showers, highs around 38, light winds becoming west to 10 miles per hour this afternoon. Tomorrow, rain, highs around 39, south winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, increasing clouds, lows around 33. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.